Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The headline of the Washington Post is stark. U.S. doubts Ukraine counteroffensive will yield big gains. Leaked document says. I welcome Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired, artilleryman, CBS News, Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy, visiting professor, Dickinson College. The counteroffensive, Jeff, we've been speculating about for weeks on the basis of the arsenal being transferred to Ukraine, is now upon us in the nature of this headline that tells me that something has gone very badly wrong. This is leaked documents, but it also, in the document, suggests there's a debate ongoing between the United States military and the Ukrainian military about capabilities. I underlined one part in this Washington Post story, that the U.S. has doubts about training and preparation. Jeff, every operation that's ever been successful for the U.S. military, and I'll keep this to the 20th century, was the product of endless speculation, endless training, so much so that you fight like you train and you train like you fight. This document says the Ukrainians are not ready, or are they? Can we tell, Jeff? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. One thing we've learned from these documents is we probably can't tell because we don't know as much about the Ukrainian forces as we'd like. Some people in the Pentagon have actually said we know more about Russian planning and Russian forces than we may know about Ukrainians. And these documents, if they are all true, suggest a good bit of the intelligence gathering was on Ukraine. But it does suggest that the Ukrainians have suffered significant casualties. It does suggest as well they have had to use some of their better forces in and around Bakhmut, diluting the force for the counteroffensive. And most worrisome, it does suggest a shortage of critical munitions, most notably artillery, which will be needed in greater supply for a counteroffensive, and also air defense weapons, and suggests the high altitude air defense systems the Ukrainians have used may actually run out in the next few weeks. If that were to occur, and the Russians might be able to achieve a goal they had at the onset and have never done so, and that is air superiority, if not air supremacy over the battlefield. And that could make it very, very difficult, John, for the Ukrainians to conduct a particular armor-heavy offensive.
The training, Jeff. You were years training for the final act was your Gulf War. Train, train, train. Your people were trained. Everybody was comfortable with their positions. They could relax even when the gunfire started. This document says the Ukrainians are either not ready or do not value it. Can you tell?
Can't really tell, John. I think the thing you have to do is look at it in a comparative sense, and that is how well they train in comparison to their adversary. We know full well the Russians have suffered over 200,000 casualties. These were their better forces at the onset, and have replaced those primarily with Wagner forces, some of whom are convicts that have been recruited out of prison, some with people who are mobilized and got maybe 3 weeks of training. So it comes back to that old Napoleon adage, the moral is to the physical as 3 is to 1. Nobody calculated at the beginning of this war, and we forget this, John, that Ukraine would be able to stand up to a concerted advance by the Russians. The numerical superiority was clearly on the Russian side. But now we know historically that that is absolutely true, and they have reversed it to a degree. So it also is a function of how well the Ukrainian forces do in comparison to their Russian counterparts, and how do Russian forces actually react to a concerted Ukrainian armor-heavy offensive.
I read from the Washington Post, as Ukraine answers back about this shortage of training, a senior Ukrainian official did not dispute the revelations in the document and pointed to logistical backlogs that have slowed promised deliveries of Western aid. It is partially true, he said, but the most critical part is a delay of the already promised systems, which delays training of newly formed brigades, and the counteroffensive as a whole. Jeff, this is blame shifting on both sides here. If it fails, you weren't trained adequately. If it fails, you didn't give us what we needed. That's the nature of every offense. You never are ready. You are always building up your, at least history says, you never tire of getting ready. We know that the men who landed on Normandy were completely overprepared and overweighed down with contingency hardware on their backs. They had to dump the packs. Ukraine is already saying we might not have what we need. But do you see in these documents that they're ready to hesitate because of these revelations? The Russians now know they're not ready.
No, I don't think it does show that, John. I think the Ukrainians have fully embrace the notion that time is not on their side. They know full well that though their condition in terms of munitions may not be where they would like it to be, it may only decrease over time. They're very worried about Western willpower to sustain them. They pay very close attention to comments by Western, and particularly U.S. officials, about a breaking of willingness to support Ukraine. And so I think they really realize that this offensive needs to come now. It needs to be successful if, in fact, they're going to maintain Western support. And, you know, back to D-Day for a second, John, it's also important to remember that the vast majority of U.S., Canadian, British forces that landed on the beaches on the 6th of June, 1944 were rookies. They had not been in combat at all. Whereas in this case, many of these Ukrainian forces have, in fact, suffered a year of steady combat.
The documents themselves, the unsolved problem is, are they real? South Korea says not real. What you say about us is not true. Egypt. Keith said right away, these are forgeries. We will never know. We will know. What is your measure now, Jeff? It's early days. The investigation is just underway. Are they forgeries?
No, I don't believe they're forgeries. The Pentagon has pretty much acknowledged that they're largely accurate. Certain things have been adjusted in these documents and inflated or deflated. For example, particularly casualty rates. It's clear on the charts discussion casualty rates. The Russian numbers have been deflated significantly, and the Ukrainian numbers have been increased. Most experts, I believe, center around the Russians having suffered 200,000 casualties, about 45,000 killed, the rest wounded, missing, prisoners. The Ukrainians, about half that many, and these were clearly distorted. Since they've moved through several different social media sources, from Discord to Telegram to Twitter, etc., they may have been altered by Russian hackers or independent hackers along the way. Other things may have been added. But I don't think we on the outside, John, are ever going to know what part was in fact true and what part was hacked and what part was misinformation. The only people who ever know will be the ones who have in possession of the original classified document for comparison purposes.
Documents are no. There are things that we've checked off these last weeks that remain true. Low on ammo. All ammo, right? The Russians have dug in Crimea and other parts of Donbass expecting an offensive. Reinforced defensive positions are a challenge to the best of troops, the best supplied of troops, with air superiority. We have no confidence that there'll be any of those things available at first. And also what you say, the timing. It is now April. It is still raining. When, Jeff, must they jump off? And I don't know if they have enough time. I certainly doubt it.
They must jump off soon, John, if in fact these particular documents are accurate, because of the shortage, particularly of artillery ammo, which will only worsen over time, and air defense systems. Some of these documents suggest they could run out of their air defense high altitude cover by early or middle of May. There's no way I think they can conduct a heavy offensive operation with any degree of success without air defense cover over the battlefield. This would open up the opportunity for the Russian Air Force, which is largely intact, to then conduct strikes on those forces as they were advancing. Furthermore, the documents reveal which forces seem to be the ones identified for the offensive. This offers the opportunity for the Russian intelligence services to monitor their activities, where they're positioned, what are their command and control networks, and target those things to decrease their effectiveness or monitor where they're positioned to try to get some idea where, in fact, this offensive may have its initial primary objectives.
These documents have spilled out over weeks or months. We don't know They're said to have started as early as January through several sources. At this point, Jeff, my information is we don't know how many documents there are. We don't know whether it will continue. Is that your information? It could go on for weeks.
Absolutely correct, John. We have no idea how many documents are out there. We have no idea if we're going to see more. And one of the real challenges for the United States, of course, is this compromises sources and methods. The saliency of us being able to penetrate Russian security and intelligence services is pretty startling. And we know full well the Russians are probably trying to plug those holes to make sure that that does not continue. And this may compromise our ability to do that in future, could compromise agents. Furthermore, it makes it difficult for countries that share intelligence with the United States to consider continuing to do that if they think, in fact, the United States can no longer credibly safeguard such classified information.
So it undermines the confidence in allies that what they pass on as confidential will remain confidential. It turns NATO and other transnational organizations into doubters. Is that your measure, Colonel?
Absolutely correct, John. It goes beyond NATO, of course. One of the key sharing of intelligence is the so-called Five Eyes, the United States, United Kingdom, Australia, Canada, and New Zealand. We share with them regularly. There'll be a real concern, and the Australians and others have already said this is a real disaster that has occurred in sharing information more broadly across those particular networks. And comments about other allies, Egypt, Israel, United Arab Emirates, which have come out in these particular documents, may also compromise our ability to cooperate with them diplomatically, militarily, or in the sharing of intelligence information.
Not all is bad news about the military confrontation between the U.S., Russia, and China. We're going to turn to Asia next, which needs all the resources we're now pouring into Ukraine. But then again, that's a problem for another week or another set of documents. Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired and artilleryman, CBS News, Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy. He's the CEO and visiting professor at Dickinson College. I'm John Patrick.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Time for a sofa upgrade? Visit washablesofas.com and discover Anabay, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices, with sofas starting at $699. Anabay brings you the ultimate in furniture innovation with a modular design that allows you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabay is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slides right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get up to 60% off plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.